The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
King Saul, head and shoulders above the others, he had it made. But in the end, he had a sad legacy. He perhaps started well, but made some poor, misguided decisions. But is there anything positive about his life? How should we think, and what should we learn from it? An important discussion just ahead here on Grace in Focus. Thanks for being here, friend. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find us at faithalone.org. And when you come to that website, make sure and stop by our store and see all the books that we have to offer, and a few free ebooks as well. Our newly published first volume of our Old Testament commentary is available. You will want to have it. And by the way, each May for the next 2 years, we will be subsequently publishing Volume 2 and Volume 3. Also at the store, Bob Wilkins' most recent book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. And on our website, you can also find a way to donate if you so choose to our ministry. We do appreciate that. It's faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here is Bob Wilkin along with Philippe Sterling.
Philippe, we've been discussing King Saul, Israel's first king. Last time we talked about his regeneration, how he was given a new heart and made into another man. And now I thought we'd look at what can we learn from his life and even from his backsliding, or we might call it degeneration, that he was acting like a degenerate man at places, not degenerate in the sense of unregenerate, but in the sense of he was carnally minded. He was not making good decisions. He was not making spiritually minded decisions. He kind of reminds me of the Corinthians, right? Where he says, you know, you're not spiritual, but you're carnal. So let's take a look at some of the things from King Saul's life. Yes. And you have a chart, right, with the trajectory of his life. Maybe you could go over that.
Yes, and I entitled it The Sad Saga of King Saul.
I think you have a... We have a YouTube video on that, don't we?
Yes, a YouTube video and also a couple of Grace in Focus articles on King Saul that dwells upon the commentary.
Right. And you want to hold that up so the audience can see it? Okay. Now, in January, we're going to be doing video podcasts. And so when you come on next year, you will be able to hold it up and people will be able to see it. But for right now, just tell us about it.
All right. Saul actually began pretty well, even though there were some early indicators also of the weakness of his dependence and walk with God. But he was privately anointed king by Samuel, and he became then a new man by the work of the Holy Spirit in him, and he's publicly acclaimed king. But he's kind of shy about it.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing.
He was humble at the beginning.
Initially he was a humble man. And the Ammonites then came, the army, you know, against the nation. And he bravely did rally the nation together and defeated the Ammonites and gave credit to God for that. But soon after, though, he does disobey Samuel. You know, Samuel had told him, you know, wait for me. And I'll come and offer the appropriate sacrifices.
7 days,
yes,
right?
7 days. And Samuel delayed. Saul grew impatient and offered the sacrifices himself.
And he has no authority to offer sacrifices.
Right.
Whether it was 7 days or 7 months, he's not allowed to do that himself.
Right. So Samuel does rebuke him for that, and he accepts the rebuke.
Which is commendable that he accepts it.
Yeah. Right. And even with that initial victory over the Ammonites, and then when the nation acclaims him as king, there's a few bad characters there that don't honor him as king, and he doesn't react to that. He, again, just bides his time. In fact, he says, you know, let us not kill them or anything. So he's showing these good traits initially. But then God gives him the command to Samuel to destroy the Amalekites.
Completely. Not only all of the men, but all of them. Yeah. Women, children, and all the animals too, right?
Yeah, to use an Old Testament expression, they were all put under the ban. the Amalekites were people who actually persecuted Israel as they emerged out of Egypt and were making their way. They were killing off all the stragglers in the back and everything.
Yes.
And God said, you know, the Amalekites will ultimately be wholly rejected. And the judgment on them is given to Saul. And Saul does not obey completely.
He just does what would have been popular with his soldiers.
Yes.
His soldiers would have liked keeping the animal,
the best of the animals, all the booty and all of that.
Like, remember Achan, when Achan is, what, did he keep some silver and some gold?
Yeah, a mantle from Babylon, silver and gold.
And some beautiful garments.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that here. They're saving some of the best. Now, Saul is going to say the reason that they kept all that was to sacrifice all that.
Right, they sacrificed the best. But they had killed all the lame and all the all the undesirable animals, but kept the best there. So this was a clear disobedience to Yahweh, to the Lord. So we read then the outcome of that when Samuel comes and he declares the judgment of God in chapter 15, verse 11, if I can quote that. Verses 10 and 11. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. And he arises early to meet Saul. And Saul had actually set up a monument to himself. He had been humble earlier, but after the victory over the Amalekites, he actually set up a monument to himself.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace and Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
But he turned back from following the Lord is the expression here.
Which is interesting because that's a New Testament idea too.
Yes.
And there are some places in the Old Testament, like, for example, Enoch walked with the Lord, Genesis 5, and following the Lord would be the same kind of thing as walking with the Lord. So he was not following what God had said.
Yes.
And God gave some pretty clear commands.
Yes.
I mean, it was pretty simple. Just do what I tell you to do. Don't overthink this. Kill them all. And, of course, whatever Saul says for his reasoning, I think his reasoning was because
But he tended to blame his man, and then he rationalized what he did.
But it was ultimately all on him.
Yes.
Because his men would have done what he said.
And so Samuel then tells him, you know, the Lord is taking away the kingdom from you. Now, it will take a while for all that to unfold. But chapter 16 will follow, which is the anointing of David as a young man to be the king after Saul.
So when David comes on the scene, Saul, having recognized this as a word from the Lord, should have embraced him as the new king and even gone to Samuel and said, I'm ready for him to be the new king.
I abdicate and I'll submit to the Lord.
He should have done that, right?
Yes.
And if he had, he could have extended his life instead of dying at the hand of the Philistines along with his sons.
Yes.
And so we can learn a lot from King Saul because he started out very well. Then he starts backsliding. And initially, he seems to be spiritually minded. But later on, he becomes carnally minded. But what's interesting is there's never a point at which he becomes an idolater. There's never a point at which he turns his back on the Lord. The Lord does remove the spirit from him.
And he does come fully to acknowledge David as a person more righteous than he.
Right.
And that will be the king.
Wasn't that the case when he was going into the cave to relieve himself and then David spares
his life? Right. On two occasions, David spares his life.
And
that would be one of them. And he says, yes, you're
more righteous
than I.
And so he's an example of somebody who, although he was carnally minded at the end, he was someone that was still seeking, in some sense, to please the Lord in a misguided sense. But by the way, let's talk for a minute about how could the Spirit be taken away from King Saul? In the New Testament, nobody can take the Holy Spirit from a believer, right?
Right. The Holy Spirit will come upon Saul, upon David, a special empowerment for given tasks. But they were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit as we are in the New Testament.
Permanently indwelt.
Yes.
Didn't Jesus say to the disciples, the Holy Spirit has been with you.
And he will be
in you. Yes. And so in the Old Testament economy, the Spirit could be with someone for a period of time, like the people building the tabernacle and building the temple.
Bezalel and others, you know, they were foreigners actually, but they're spiritually endowed and enabled, you know, to do their task. And if you remember, even concerning David in Psalm 51, you know, his psalm of repentance, he asked God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Yeah. And that it has nothing to do with regeneration. That has to do with empowerment. And by the way, the case can be made that even today when the Holy Spirit permanently indwells us, there probably is special enablement today. In other words, the filling of the Spirit in the book of Acts, if we look at it, sometimes it refers to someone who is simply spiritually minded. Like Acts 6:3, they picked the first deacons who were full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. And that meant they were wise and they were spiritual. But then there are other places where they were all together in a room and the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they spoke the word boldly. That seems to be special enablement.
From Acts chapter 4, we're told that the whole place shook and they went out and started speaking boldly.
And I personally think that does still happen today. In other words, I'm not charismatic, but I do believe, even though we don't know for sure when it's happening, at times I can look back to some of my speaking and say, that seemed especially effective. I wonder if the Lord was giving me special enablement.
Well, if I can write, drive over here, I was praying.
Yes.
What of my prayer was, God, give me some wisdom.
Right.
You know, enable our conversation.
Amen. And so we can all learn a lot from King Saul, and we shouldn't just think, this is a man that has nothing positive to teach us. Yes, there are some things we need to avoid that he did. But there are things he did that we should follow. Ultimately, a lot of believers don't spend much time in the Old Testament, but that's quite a shame, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, as I was writing some of this commentary, often I felt my heart burning within me.
You were like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Scripture will do that to us if we're receptive. Well, that's so good. Well, thanks, Philippe, and thank you all. And remember, let's
keep grace in focus.
I invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, what can we learn from David sparing King Saul's life? Please join us again. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.